MLB, NBA, NHL, NFL, Score Big has all the sports tickets you want at up to 60% off. It's easy to use. I've used it myself. All you got to do is log on to sportsgamblingpodcast.com and click the Score Big icon. Score Big, the lead pipe lock for great game tickets. Welcome everyone to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I am Sean, stacking the money green, with my partner in picks, Ryan, Real Money Kramer. Ryan, are you worried about getting bullied in this workplace environment?
Look, this this Jonathan Martin, yes. Ricky Incognito story.
Is it? I thought it was Richie.
Richie.
But I feel like I hear people calling him Ricky.
Look, as much as I, as much as the whole bullying thing annoys me.
Yes.
Of course, Sean, you, like myself, grew up in a proper East Coast, slightly blue-collar town where you, you learned a lot about life by not taking, like, I don't know. I feel like a lot of my growth as a human being came from, like, learning to stand up for yourself.
Learning not to take shit from people.
And, I mean, granted, maybe today is a little different than it was back then, because at the end of the day, if we'd get in a fight and it'd be a fist fight, there wouldn't be guns or knives or any of that shit. So, perhaps it's a different world. but, that being said, my real takeaway from this, Sean.
Yeah.
Is we are just continuing to learn how dumb NFL players are. First, Aaron Hernandez thinks he can destroy his phone and get away from murder. Why are you leaving voicemails and text messages?
Well, no, I mean, listen, I'm not going to defend Richie Incognito in any way. So if this comes off like that, then I apologize.
And look, sorry, the other thing is the Dolphins need to get – they were in on it, and now it's starting to come out. No surprise, the coach – look, here's
– he was – well, here's the thing.
Here's what's really happening.
No,
Sean.
Here's what happened. Well, A, Richie Incognito isn't smart, but he didn't think this would ever come out because he'd been doing this for years. He's a guy that is the hard ass on the team. He's the guy that tells everyone to shut the F up and, you know, the white guy who pushes the racial stuff. Like, he's that guy
but
on
you
the
can't,
football team.
Yeah, but you can't and, you can't have a recording of yourself calling someone a half bleep N-word.
On guys, black guys in the locker room are saying he's a certified brother and they don't mind him using that word. So
you still can't use it, Sean. Come on.
No, listen, I'm not saying you can use it. I would never use it, but if he's using it in the locker room, you can understand why he would feel comfortable leaving it on a guy's personal voicemail. He didn't think Jonathan Martin was going to leave a professional football job and check himself into a treatment center for stress, I would imagine. Now, I think what we have a combination here is Richie Incognito is a huge asshole, right? He has a history of being a huge asshole. He got thrown off of Oregon's football team without ever playing in a game. He was on the team for 2 weeks, and they threw him off. He's a guy who gets in a lot of fights, and he's an antagonizer.
I believe he got cut in the NFL a similar way, where he basically – oh,
he was
from
on
the Rams.
Multiple,
the Rams on, just – apparently Spagnuolo didn't get along with him.
He is
a notorious players coach. And apparently he just got cut from the Rams for similar reasons. Look, I still think it comes back to the fact that he – like, this has nothing to – like, granted, the situation happens to be bullying, but this, much like documentaries are never about their subject, they're really about the people. Again, a news story comes out with a relevant topic in today's day, today's culture, but really it's about NFL players being retarded. And
yeah. Well, I mean, what do we – did you see the video that TMZ released where he's shirtless – just jacked up, yelling at a bar. It's hilarious. The guy's a psycho. I mean, I've signed off on this years ago.
Look,
that these guys are gladiator types. He's a huge asshole. That's why he's bounced around from team to team.
Every white guy should have the same N-word rule. Don't use it. And if you're thinking about using it, just pretend Lawrence Taylor is standing right in front of you.
No, it's... I don't even think it's about that because...
No, what this is really about, Sean, and it's going to be bad news for Richie Incognito when it comes out. Jonathan Martin's a gay guy.
Yeah, I think if...
And if when that comes out, he's in trouble.
Yeah, I think if it comes out that this guy's sexual orientation or whatever played a part of it, then, yeah, he's... I mean, I don't know. He could very well be back in the NFL at some point, but I don't know about Jonathan Martin. I mean, people, it's funny these bloggers are just so surprised that NFL players wouldn't be more supportive of Martin. It's like, this is football. This is these crazy guys who have these crazy hits. It's an intense locker room, and I feel bad for Martin. But also, I mean, in a way, this almost proves Richie Incognito's point that he wasn't tough enough to hang in the NFL. And you look at the breakdown of Martin going into the draft was that he was too soft. He was from Stanford. He grew up in a privileged background, Studio City, California. His parents are Harvard-educated business people. He went to play in Stanford. He has all the makings of a soft player. Even his high school coach goes, I'm not surprised. He went down there playing football. You know, he's in Miami playing football with guys from LSU, Southern California, Texas. You know, your more traditional jocks. Not, like, legit student athletes like he's used to, and he cracked. And maybe the guy... Also, there's stuff coming out that the guy had a history of depression, possibly tried to kill himself. So I think it's just a combination of Richie Incognito, huge asshole, alpha male of the team. He was on the Veteran Leadership Council or whatever for the Miami Dolphins. So
you can show again.
You can understand why he thought this behavior was acceptable. Yeah. So...
Who?
Richie Incognito. That, I mean, he is stupid. I'm not saying he's not, but I think it's, I don't think it was, I mean, obviously in hindsight it's stupid to leave that on a voicemail, but he was probably saying these same things in practice and being elected to the Veteran Council and being seen as a leader, so, and now also it's coming out, like, Brian Hartline and Ryan Tannehill are saying these guys were friends. He was playing the voicemail around to people as if it was a joke, and people were laughing and the whole thing.
Yeah, I don't know what you're trying to point out there. I mean, that's one of those situations where, I mean, just, I don't know. Again, I think bullying's stupid, but you'd have to be kind of dumb to not see how, once it's happening, the guy, what's he going to do? So if you got if you had a dude that fucked with you in high school, which I'm sure you did, Sean.
Yeah.
What worked better? Trying to resist or just ignoring him?
Well...
Or acting like everything's cool?
Well, in this particular case, I ignored him. And then
you ignored him?
And then he overdosed on ecstasy and passed away years later. But
so you were soft?
No. Yeah, I mean...
That's the better way to handle it. That's what Jonathan Martin was doing. I mean, that's the... Oh, he was friends with him. He was tolerating it. That's because that's the better approach. Look.
Right.
I don't know. It's just... And also... Look... It's one of those things, again, coming back to the dumbness of the player. Just because, let's say you smoke weed, Sean. Let's just hypothetical. You enjoyed some marijuana from time to time. That doesn't mean you're going to take pictures of you smoking marijuana and put it on your Facebook profile. There's one thing about doing something. There's another about recording it or putting it in a context that can be replayed or looked up or anything like that. So I think this is more of a story about just how, like, look, you're an idiot. You got caught. Deal with it. It's not...
My only point there is, okay, as dumb as Richie Incognito is, I agree he's dumb.
This isn't all on him. This is on the coach. Look,
I'm saying in this particular case, he knows that smoking weed isn't right, correct? I don't think he knows that what he was saying to Richie Incognito was wrong.
You mean Jonathan Martin?
Yeah. He didn't think it was wrong because he was getting positive validation from the team and from ownership and from coaches.
Isn't that the Webster's Dictionary definition of what happens in an environment when quote-unquote bullying happens, it becomes part of the culture, and people just go along with it.
Yeah.
Because people don't want to fuck with him because he's probably a little crazy. I mean, right. Everyone knows that guy who you don't want to say, hey, man, maybe calm down a little bit.
Yeah. So, hey, listen, I'm fine with bullying being a part of the NFL culture.
That's fine. But what's going to happen is this is going to be more about he's a gay guy.
Yeah, I mean, his sexuality could come out, and then it'll... Yeah, I guess it'll change things. But,
and the other story is, so what's the big deal? He left. How many times were you in a situation in high school where you just left?
Yeah. Well, it sounds exactly like high school. He slammed down his tray and stormed out of the cafeteria.
So why is he getting... I don't see why that's a big deal.
Yeah, if he doesn't want to play football, he doesn't have to play football. The big deal is that you're entitled to earn a living and that this was workplace harassment. There's going to be a gigantic lawsuit from...
Sure.
From you their family.
I work in an office, Sean. You work in an office. You can't... There's certain things you know you can't do. You can't take your dick out. You can't touch a girl's boobs. You can't do... There's certain things you just can't do. And they're called... In the state of California, they're called instantaneous actionable offenses.
Yeah, but you can't compare the NFL...
Why not?
Because you can say all those things. You can take your dick out in the locker room and mess around. You can use the N-word.
Okay, so yeah, take it to the NFL. There's certain things you can't do.
Right, but I'm saying this stuff goes on all the time. I think this...
I don't think white guys using the N-word as an acceptable form of communication happens all the time.
I think so.
That's crazy. No, that's crazy.
No, why are all his black teammates sticking up for him?
I don't know. Probably because they didn't like Jonathan Martin. It probably has less to do about... It's more of like, oh, this white dude's crazy. Like one of those things, right? Like Chappelle says, you got a white guy hanging out with some black dudes, you know he's done some loud shit.
Yeah. I don't... My point is, I think this is a very common situation. The uncommon thing is that Jonathan Martin is suffering from depression.
You think it's common that...
Those
people are forced to pay money.
Yeah.
You think that's common
in professional sports? Yeah.
No, it's one thing to take dudes out to have the rookies take people out to dinner, but you think it's common for basically to be extorted?
Yeah.
Okay. Really?
For a rookie to have to chip in for a lineman's party that he didn't go to? Yeah, I think that's very common.
Okay. I mean, neither of us have any clue, so we can argue.
No, I mean, from stories that you hear, and the fact that players are—it seems like a majority of players are supporting Richie Incognito. So that leads me to believe
that's another thing. How can you support him? Isn't that just a bad PR move?
They see it as a brotherhood.
I mean, look,
they see Jonathan Martin as a tattletale.
Yeah.
So that's why they're not supporting Jonathan Martin.
The same thing happens in offices. When someone goes and complains to HR about something, that's why those rules are made, Sean. I mean, I agree that some of it is a little ridiculous, but if they're not there, what happens? You're in the old boys club or you're not?
Yeah.
None of us are in that old boys club, so none of us should be in favor of dissolving any sort of workplace laws.
I'm not. I'm just saying.
You are, though.
No, I'm saying this is how the NFL operates.
So the NFL isn't a business? So the NFL should be allowed to skirt laws like they do?
The NFL is not a traditional business. No, it's not.
Why not?
Because it's not.
Why not?
Because you're risking life and limb in the same way the military is not a traditional business.
The military is not a business.
It's not a business. How is it not a business? It's not the same workplace harassment issues apply.
Yeah, but you with the military, you sign up. And you actually are you have to be there once you sign up.
Okay.
It's not an at-will employment. It's not like the NFL.
All right, I'm telling you the way I mean, these guys look at it as a brotherhood. And they look at it as they're going to war. And there's certain rules in war.
Then in the same why way is that... So they're all going against the NFL Players Association?
Who's going against the NFL Players Association?
Isn't the NFLPA the ones... that are going to be suing the NFL?
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's who's looking into the case for Jonathan Martin.
No, I mean, yeah, the NFL players...
Doesn't it seem like it... I mean, they don't... Just like when people scabbed back in the strike year, like 1989 or whatever. I mean, that's like they want to be part of a union, but they for some stuff, but then they start doing stuff like this. It doesn't make sense. Are you in or are you out?
Okay.
I mean, right?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the majority of players are.
So if you told every player, hey, you know, if you have the option to back the player that the NFL Players Association is backing or and collect your pension, or you can back Richie Incognito and be out of the union.
No, I don't think it comes to that. And that's why
they pay their fees.
If they are
indirectly support paying for his legal defense.
Yeah, but
so
that's
what other words matter then?
Well, part of being
they're not leaving the union.
No, I'm telling you, if you asked every single NFL player, if you polled the NFL players, they would side overwhelmingly with Richie Incognito.
And yet they are still part of the union.
Right, because you can't be in the NFL without being in the union.
Sure you can.
Okay.
You can. Right. Why aren't they leaving the union if they disagree with the union?
Because they don't probably care that much.
Because they don't know what they're talking about.
All right, Ryan. Let's get into these. Let's just go over the spreads. I feel like we're just treading water here. Cincinnati Bengals.
Well, if you're not going to realize that I'm right.
I honestly don't get what point you're going for. What's your overall? What's your takeaway? Give me your takeaway point.
This has nothing to do about whether what he did was part of the NFL. It's all about the fact that he's an idiot and he got caught. And you know he's guilty, and you know he should be reprimanded by the way he was going after Adam Schefter and all these other news outlets. Like, what? If you're not a guilty man, doesn't do that.
A not guilty man, you mean? An innocent man.
Sorry, an innocent man doesn't act that way. Would you agree?
Yeah, no, I totally think that Richie Incognito was being a huge asshole. That's not up for debate.
No, but I'm not saying but more than an asshole, he was he did the things that he said he didn't do.
Oh yeah, he's a liar.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you do stuff behind closed doors and then when it becomes public knowledge, you deny it. I think there's a Richie Incognito, I think, in a lot of NFL locker rooms. That's my point. I think the more rare case is a guy like Jonathan Martin who can't handle it to the point that he has to go into – that it severely troubles him. I think that's the exception.
Is it that he couldn't handle it or is it that he actually was smart enough to know that he had options?
Maybe that's it. Maybe people don't realize that they don't have to take that. But I feel like Richie Incognito, what he said, what he did is fairly common in professional sports, and especially in football.
I'll let you finish on that.
All right. Cincinnati Bengals at these Miami Dolphins. Wow, weird game. Thursday night special. Man, I kept going back and forth. And I think I had Miami on the podcast. And I might have switched my play to Cincinnati with the idea that after Jonathan Martin went missing, I thought Cincinnati might be the play. Cincinnati looked good, definitely should have won that game, but just let Miami hang around. Went to overtime. I think it was one of the, four or five games ever to end in a safety, a walk-off safety, if you will. Real crazy for bettors. 42.5 was probably the over-under
in
most places. Ends at 42. It's tied 20-20 going into OT. You got to think. If you had the over, you got to think your money there, or maybe you get screwed by the tie. You don't think.
Yep.
You don't think about the safety end of the game.
I mean, it's happened. I think they said this was the third time in NFL history this has happened.
Yeah, pretty crazy. My takeaway here is that Cincinnati, if you want to take that next step to being a good team, to making some noise in the AFC playoffs this year, you got to. This feels like a game they got to win, though.
Yeah, I don't disagree, but you also can't argue that it was a great spot. I mean, if there's let's say that we agree that Cincinnati is a playoff team.
Right.
Even weeks ago, you look at this game on the schedule and you're like, oh man, that's a tough spot.
And that's what's annoying about these Thursday night games. It's tough to handicap. I feel like if this game's played on a Sunday, I think Cincinnati wins easily.
Yeah, look, my only concern with Cincinnati going forward is they do seem to have the ability to play down a bit to their competition.
Yes.
And that's always something you want to look for, especially when it come playoff time. You know, are they capable of sustaining it? And clearly in this game, they couldn't sustain
Giovanni
a high-level play.
Bernard, dominant.
Yeah, he's fun. I mean, here's the thing, though. At the end of the day, who's more balanced in the AFC? I mean, I could make the argument that Cincinnati has maybe as good a chance of anyone to beat Denver in the AFC.
Yeah, it's one of those things. They have a much more balanced team than Denver.
They lost Geno Atkins, though.
In the playoffs, even though I don't like Manning in cold weather, I just think Andy Dalton is such a mismatch with some of these other stud quarterbacks in the AFC. Andy Dalton still misses some throws.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, look.
But you're right. They have a better defense and better run game than most of the other AFC contenders. Interesting how things shake out. Kansas City Chiefs going into Buffalo. Upset special here, or so I thought. Had the Bills. Oh, my God. Kansas City wins without scoring an offensive touchdown. Two defensive touchdowns and three field goals. Chiefs win 23-13, covering as a 3-4. I think it went to 4.5 once Tool was named the starter. A couple things here. Buffalo just didn't give C.J. Spiller the ball enough, and Jeff Tool, who did an okay job of managing the game, with the exception of being on the 1 yard line and just throwing it directly to the Kansas City defender. And these Chiefs team at 9-0 is just getting every right bounce.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I hate saying stuff like this, but Buffalo was definitely the right side of this. They outgained them. I mean, they should. Basically, it comes down to that.
But it's like, yeah, it was, but then also Kansas City, is this anything new? This is how they win games.
Yeah.
I mean, I was expecting Kansas City to win a close, sloppy game. I just didn't expect them to cover the number. It could very well have been Kansas City 20, Buffalo 17, or something like that. Or, I don't know, Buffalo 20, Kansas City 23. Feel like we were pretty close there on this one.
Well, like we talked about, that pick six is basically a 10 to 14-point swing. So look at the final score.
I mean, they lost by 10. That really could have been the game. Minnesota Vikings went into Dallas. I sprinkled a little on that Minnesota Vikings money line, plus 375 in Big D.
I believe that was my my money line pick of the week, Sean.
Was that? Yeah, that might have been.
I just had a feeling. Just felt right. Felt like AP was going to run hard coming back to Texas. I don't know.
And it was there. We had the Romo fourth quarter interception late.
Yeah.
Just not quite enough.
I think the one takeaway from this game, I'm not adjusting my opinion of Dallas at all after this game, but look, Christian Ponder is clearly the best quarterback on Minnesota, and it's crazy they put Josh Freeman in hindsight now.
Looks solid, I thought.
Minnesota will play some tight games going forward. They have just enough to be in games, but they should. I mean, there's teams that they can beat. I like the way Ponder played.
Yeah, I think Minnesota maybe wins a couple more going out here, but I like them as kind of a dog, getting more than seven situations like that where they're getting no respect. I think they're a little feisty. They're playing hard and. AP is running hard, so.
Yep.
Tennessee Titans went into St. Louis, took care of business. Tennessee Titans 28, St. Louis Rams 21. That's got a little close. I felt like this was going to be a pretty easy win for Tennessee, but got a little tricky here against the Rams. Rams showing a little bit here. What do you think about Sam Bradford next year? Is there a chance he's the starting quarterback for the Rams?
Yep, he will be.
Really?
Rams are on the rise right now. I really think they're a team that I'm going to look to back the next couple weeks. Tennessee, not so sure. I don't know. Tennessee's in an interesting spot. They're 4-4. They're in the hunt in the playoff race. So it'll be interesting to see how they react. We didn't watch much of this game, no. Sean, but Chris Johnson finally had a game. So I mean, that's one of those things.
First touchdown.
If they can get him going, as it turns out, apparently he had been giving his offensive linemen some pointers on how to block, and that's why they blocked better.
Is that what he said?
I saw some story about that he was like working with them in the offensive lineman room or something.
New York Jets at home winning outright against the New Orleans Saints. Rex Ryan beating his little brother up. Although he's not very little. And unclear if he's younger or older. I'm pretty sure Rex Ryan's older. Jets winning 26-20 outright.
Well, yeah, of course he's younger, Sean, because dog years are divided by 7, so he's probably only like 6. Maybe 7.
He's a Wolverine. Yeah, I mean, this felt like just a great spot for the Jets. The Jets have just been going back and forth, much like the Cowboys, back and forth, good game, bad game. And New Orleans, outside on the road, couldn't take care of business. I don't know if I learned really that much from here, except I basically validated a lot of things I had going.
Not to mention, this was a primetime Close Your Eyes special, with the home team getting the points there.
It was.
So.
And also a great play for the books, because basically everyone who had a tease or a parlay had New Orleans money line.
I mean, even if you teased, even if you did one of those, some of those crazy 8 or 10 point teasers, you lost this. So
yeah, well, yeah, because
Jets won by 6,
so that's a 12 point swing. Washington Redskins at home against the San Diego Chargers. San Diego tied up 24-24 at the goal line. 3 attempts, could not get it in. I had Chargers felt real good against the Redskins, and it looked good. I don't – that goal line, it's funny. As soon as Woodhead, they reversed the touchdown, you almost knew that they weren't going to get it in. Now, maybe that was
they
just –
they upheld it, actually, because it was called a – it was called out of bounds.
Oh, okay, sorry.
I don't think they could have overturned it if it had been called a touchdown.
Yeah, you're probably right. But now maybe we were just with a pessimistic Chargers fan watching the game, but
showing more emotion than normal, I might add. I'm happy for the Chargers. You know, Charger fans don't even know what emotion is, so it was nice to see some.
Hang 10, bro. Chargers just could not. I mean, that's got to be a frustrating way to lose. 21-21.
Especially because all it does is remind you of North Turner.
24-21. Yeah. Tough loss, but I don't know. If you're a Redskins fan, I would be careful about hopping on that bandwagon. I
agree.
That was not a commanding performance by any means, and RG3, sophomore slump.
I think the game went how most people would have expected. It was a close game. The spread was close, and the home team squeaked it out.
Wow. Atlanta went into Carolina. Whew. I don't know what the season line before the season line was, but Carolina laying 7.5 and not even close. Carolina whooped up on the Falcons 34-10, and Falcons are just they're gone, man. Lost cause.
Yeah.
Cam Newton, we're all over this, and not much to take away here. It'll be interesting to see.
Not much to take away. Cam Newton.
Hey, he looked good.
Hey, with that New Orleans loss, don't look now, but they're only, what, one back?
They're in the hunt, Ryan. They're in the hunt for the division.
I mean, 3 weeks ago, when I was saying I feel decent about my Carolina to win the division bet, I feel like you kind of looked at me like I was crazy.
Yep.
And now, also, we should point out, yeah, so Carolina's 5-3, New Orleans 6-2. They still play twice. So...
Hey,
I'm not gonna
rain on your parade.
I'm also, Sean, I'm gonna throw something out there.
I enjoy watching you celebrate potential value, but
+98 and +70.
What's that?
Who's got the better point differential?
Oh, come on.
Carolina.
Yeah, Carolina's been whooping up on some inferior opponents.
Oh, here we go.
I think New Orleans probably wins both games, in fact.
Oh,
New Orleans is going to win.
I'll take that bet right now.
No, I mean, there's not good odds on it. If you want to come up with some odds, I'll take it. Okay, Ryan, speaking of one game out and on a run, Philadelphia Eagles went into Oakland for a historic Hall of Fame performance. Hall of Fame in that Nick Foles jersey and football are now in Canton, as they well deservedly should be, Ryan. Threw for 7 touchdown passes against the Oakland Raiders. It was a beautiful sight. We were both thought the Eagles were the play here. They've looked great on the road, and Nick Foles came back to life. He's actually looked really good, with the exception of the Dallas game.
Yeah, I mean, I feel a little bit bad for you that you're back to being hopeful. But you know, I guess it's good to have faith.
It is, Ryan. It is. They're 4-5, 1 game back from the Cowboys. They play the Cowboys in Dallas. The Eagles have played much better on the road. They have a hope and a prayer. We'll see what happens. Tampa Bay Bucks went into Seattle. We were all over Tampa Bay here. Felt like Seattle wouldn't take them seriously. Bucks were up 21-0. Lost the game outright 27-24. We thought it would be a good idea to take Tampa Bay over 6 points in the second half. They drove down, had a chance for a touchdown, kicked a field goal. Never scored again. The great screw job. But they covered easily, getting 16.5 here. Seattle, I don't know. Maybe they were just on cruise control. I think it was a combination. They were on cruise control in Tampa Bay. This was Tampa Bay's last salvo.
Yeah. I to be fair, Sean, I don't know if I was on Tampa in this game.
Okay, sorry.
But, I don't know. I think these games, these last 2 weeks for Seattle, are going to pay dividends down the stretch. It's just, I mean, watch this team. They're in bad situations and they don't panic. And Russell, they come back and win. And I know it's one of those things you got to play bad to have to come back, but they're still able to do it. Most teams just aren't able to execute and come through. You know.
Well, it's funny because the old adage is you can't just turn it on. But they're definitely, with really good teams, you can just turn it on.
Do you remember that the Seattle-Atlanta conference champion or playoff game?
Yeah. Or do you remember the Washington Redskins-Seattle game? You just have confidence they're going to win the game.
Yeah. Russell Wilson's a stud.
He is, right. Speaking of studs, Jason Campbell, Cleveland Browns, winning outright 24-18 as a 2.5-point home dog. Joe Flacco, leading rusher for the Ravens. Not looking good for the Ravens, but Jason Campbell just good enough to win a couple games, huh? Dark horse candidate, Cleveland?
He's got a strong arm. I don't know. Cleveland really screwed up that whole tank it and get a good pick. Because now they're in second place in their division, I believe.
Now, Ryan, this is interesting. Do you think trading away Trent Richardson was an intentional tank move, or were they just ahead of the curve, knew what they had with Trent Richardson, and wanted to get rid of him?
Well, I mean, the story they told was he didn't fit their style. Now, you draft a running back number 3 overall.
But they didn't draft.
True. You draft a running back number 3 overall, you're basically telling the world you believe this running back can work in any style. I mean,
or you build your style around that guy.
Yeah. Now, as it turns out, now that he's being outperformed by Donald Brown, Big East running back, I don't know. Maybe we still have to start. I mean, take a look at the Alabama running backs. In college, they run behind a phenomenal offensive line, typically one of the best in the country. They play with a great defense. They're usually ahead. They're running the ball. The other teams are getting tired. Mark Ingram, Heisman Trophy winner. What's he done? Trent Richardson. I mean, Eddie Lacy is doing all right in Green
Bay. He could be the exception. But
I
don't, Ryan, who's worse as a pro? USC quarterbacks or Alabama running backs?
Ooh.
It's a good poll question.
Yeah, I think we need to wait a little bit on the Alabama running backs. Jury's still out, but
still a couple out there. And
it's unfair to say that. I mean, look,
Carson Palmer
was
a good quarterback.
He was awesome before they tore his knee up.
It's a brutal play. Pittsburgh Steelers went into New England. I was calling for the upset special here, and I don't know. I'd like to say I wasn't totally off. I mean, it's hard to say that considering the Steelers got outscored here 55-31. But they were definitely in this game and definitely in it late. New England just kind of blew them out as a guy.
Yeah, Pittsburgh's got serious problems. I think New England was playing poorly and then they kind of turned it on. I think this is more about Pittsburgh sucking.
Well, I was big on the under in Pittsburgh. I thought they were too old.
Yep.
This was their last year. With you know, they got to do some serious shakeup after. And I was right about that. I thought Baltimore would be a little bit better. So
I also think you got to watch out for the Patriots. They've gotten over the hump. The receivers are there.
Two.
The receivers are there. I'm saying I really think at this point they're my pick to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl.
And people are freaking out like they're not good. It's bizarre. I mean, these rookie receivers and all these other players, they're just going to get better, right? Like I mean,
I think they're there. You're seeing Dobson is kind of – he kind of has become the guy.
It's like the Patriots have already bottomed out, you know what I mean, for their season, in my opinion.
Oh, they bottomed out like week 3 through 5, you know?
Yeah, that close game against the Jets.
The
or
loss
even their
the
loss
Jets.
Against the Jets.
I just think it would not surprise me.
That would be
me.
A great playoff game. Jets, Patriots, love those.
Yeah, I have a maybe the Jets make it, but we'll see.
No, AFC is pretty interesting for those other wild card spots. Right.
Well, there's only one wild card spot. That's the problem.
Yeah, I guess you're right because you're assuming two are coming out of the AFC West.
Well, the Chiefs could lose every game from here on out and be 9-7.
Indianapolis Colts, Ryan. I'm pretty sure this was my lock of the week. At home.
Stop it. You're not allowed to take credit.
How could I not take credit for that? I said they would find a way to win, and the Indianapolis Colts, Andrew Luck,
because
they
Sean,
found
when
a
I
way
left you,
to win.
When I left you at halftime, you were in one of your angry gambling moods. Look, this is now Houston is now responsible for two of the worst betting beats that I've experienced in the past 5 years. I mean, when I left your house, I didn't even watch the game until I flipped it on in the fourth quarter just to see what was going on, and I got to watch the mess that happened. Look, as soon as I got a text from either you or someone else we were watching games with that Kubiak had it collapsed, and my first thought was, oh my God, they're not going to be able to call plays in the second half. So I immediately took some cold second half action just in case, because I was like, I do not want to be in a situation like I was when they played Seattle and they somehow blow this game. I'm taking the Colts -3.
You didn't have to do any push-ups this time.
And, yeah, that was the – I mean, unbelievable. I think that my takeaway from this game is that Houston is shockingly consistent at doing incredible things, incredibly bad things, and that there's clear – I believe there's going to be some issues with this Colts team going forward. Andrew Luck looked really bad for 3 quarters.
But Indianapolis.
No, I'll give them credit. They found a way to win, but they didn't find a way to win in the same way that Seattle does.
I disagree.
In that they looked awful, and I think that what changed in this game is when the play calling changed and the rhythm of the game changed because Houston wasn't able to maintain those drives because they didn't have a guy who calls their plays. You can't underrate that fact. Look at Sean Payton in the Saints. I just think that's a bigger factor than people are thinking about.
I don't know why you're so hesitant to give Indy credit overall, Ryan.
I'm giving them credit.
This is the team they are.
There's comeback, Sean, and then there's like historic comebacks.
Yeah, and Houston is on. They've had a couple of them. So this is the makeup of the team. This is a team that finds a way to lose.
Okay.
And that's why I didn't like picking them. Chicago Bears.
You act like Indy was like the easiest bet you've ever had.
Well, yeah, it was my life. Yeah, I had to sweat it out.
All right. Note to self.
Our generation's John Elway, yes or no?
I'm sorry. I'm just not doing a good job of pointing out when... When this stuff, when you use the opposite argument when you lose bets like this, I'll just have to start pointing that out more.
What's the opposite argument?
Oh, just like how you talked about the Buffalo game. I don't know. I mean,
yeah, no,
you love back and Buffalo is Houston, basically.
No, I know, and that looking back, that was a mistake.
No, it wasn't. You were on the right side of that game too, Sean.
No, but
you have to see the right side of games.
No, but that doesn't help you. That still gives you the wrong result.
When a team is down by more than 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter, they have less than a 5% chance to win the game or something like that. If you look at historical representation of NFL games.
Okay, stat nerd. Put away your protractor and get on the Andrew Luck train.
Well, Sean, clearly I don't need a protractor for that. Thank you.
It's the only nerd.
Maybe
would
an
know
abacus.
That. Only a nerd would know that. Chicago Bears went to Green Bay, 10.5-point dogs. I really like Chicago as well. Tweeted that pick out at Gambling Podcast. You're welcome.
Stop it.
What?
Now, although I don't disagree that that's probably the play before the game, did you think Aaron Rodgers was going to get hurt in the first
series? Yes, I
knew
he was going to get hurt. No. Well, I mean, Ryan, in my defense, I thought getting 10.5, 11 points. I was not that confident that they were going to win outright. Although,
I liked it. I bet 9.5, and I liked it. I like Green Bay with big spreads.
Ryan, I did have Chicago money line in league heads. So, to say that I was totally off.
Oh, so with fake money, you had, okay.
Yeah, it's easier with fake money.
Look, I mean, but you can make the argument Green Bay was in that game with Seneca Wallace, and he's horrible. How does Green Bay not sign Matt Flynn? I guess the reports are that Matt Flynn doesn't want to play football.
Very weird.
Yeah.
I guess if you have a ton of money, I don't know.
I mean, that's one of those things. Like, you talk about it all the time.
He's going to go counsel Jonathan.
I mean, Sean, do you love your job?
No, not particularly.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like I've called in sick when I'm not sick before, and there's times where I don't want to be at work. You know, maybe the guy doesn't want to deal with that bullshit.
Hey, no, you do get jacked up, and
it's just hard for a normal person to like see that perspective when they're getting paid so much money.
Yeah, to walk away. Yeah, I mean, there's...
But, Sean, you've walked away from money in your life before on a much smaller scale, but you've done it to follow something that you really want to do.
Yeah, but is Matt Flynn following his dreams of being a stand-up comedian?
I don't know that, yeah.
I guess it's just hard for us to imagine because the dream, so many people's dream is to play professional football as a quarterback. I mean, that's a common dream, so... It's tough to, like, walk away and imagine a better scenario.
Yeah.
Okay. That being said, I did like Chicago getting all those points. I always like taking the dog in a division primetime game. Green Bay kept it real close.
I agree with that rule, except for when it's Green Bay at home. They just cover big spreads at home, and who knows? Who knows what would have happened if Rodgers stays healthy?
Well, but
I will say that McGowan looked pretty good.
I mean... And Luke McCown, it was more a play that I think that guy is serviceable.
Was it Luke?
Or
I think it's Cade, right?
Oh, Cade?
I don't know. There's three.
McCown, brother.
There's actually three of them.
I think I always
Maybe it is Luke. Maybe you're right.
No, I could be wrong.
Anyway.
I don't think he's that far off from Cutler.
Oh, no. That's an incorrect statement. Someone else said that to me today.
If you factor in that he doesn't turn the ball over, and you factor in Cutler's history with Green Bay.
If Cutler's playing, Chicago wins that game by 17 points at least. I mean, that's the bottom line.
Well, and Green
Bay. No, that's a fact. That's an actual fact, Sean.
Green Bay probably doesn't go for that onside kick.
Maybe.
Maybe they don't push the punt block.
Maybe.
I mean, you could see Green Bay called and played a totally different game once. And maybe they don't run the ball as well. Very interesting. All right, Ryan. I had a pretty solid week there with the picks. Felt good about it. Feel like I'm getting some momentum.
As did I, Sean. Although I'm still not in the top five, Sean.
You're not wearing a shirt?
Neither are you.
Wow, I fell. Or continue.
Top five, Sean, real quick. G Luna taking over the top spot with 68. I am a genius. Tied for second with Zim Zum, not dumb, with 67. Kind of a drop-off after that. Three people tied for fourth. Mushing Picks, Pickmaster, and The Heartbeat, all with 64. Sean, you're right out of, right back of the pack and tied for eighth with 62 right. And I am down a bit further with 57. But I will say this, Sean.
Yes.
I am I'm having a nice, consistent seven and change a week. So
there you go. Slowly building, Ryan.
It's tough. It's tough. All right. League heads. Sean.
Big week. I think I won the week in league
heads. You are up to 2-6, Sean.
See, but I'm playing for bankroll. I don't play for...
And you do have a nice bankroll. What I'm not sure about, I do not know how many teams make the playoffs, Sean. How many rounds are there in the playoffs? You have the first round, right? Then the division. You have the wild card round, division round, then conference championships, right?
Yeah.
So in league heads, so there'll be three rounds. The first round of league heads will be the wild card round. The second round will be the divisional round. And the final round is the conference championships plus the Super Bowl. So
you guys will have to get some prop bets for the Super Bowl.
So the top eight make it.
Nice. I like it.
You're currently in 14th, Sean.
Oh, bullshit.
Real quick, top three. Kramer-centric, number one. 7-1. Holding down the tops, but of course I'm not.
I play more for the money. I forget about the whole strategy.
I am not eligible to win the $50 gift card or the T-shirt. Oh. So the top spot currently being held by the Bad Horse, 6-2. And then third, the Real League Heads, also not eligible. So, hey, it's wide open still. Plenty of spots. Sean, of course, you're not eligible either. Maybe that's why you're bowing out and not even trying to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
That's what it
is.
That's
very nice of you. All right, Sean. Was it week 10 already? Doesn't that make you sad?
Yep.
All right, Sean. Of course, the freshly released LVH contest lines. Thursday night, you're Washington Redskins, Sean. Seem pretty high on them lately. A little bit, not really.
No.
I know, I'm kidding. Well, they travel to Minnesota where the Vikings are getting 2.5 at home. I don't know which way you're going on this, but I'm based on the way we talked, I feel like you got to agree with me. I think this is a dog or pass play. I was kind of encouraged by the way the Vikings play. I think the Redskins played the same they have the past 3 weeks with varying outcomes. And I got to be honest, I think the Vikings crowd's going to be yoked up on this Thursday night. And I don't know. I just this is a dog or pass game for me. I can't take the Redskins laying points on the road at this point.
I'm gonna have to go home dog here, Ryan.
Yeah, I'm with you. Oh, we agree.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Good.
Why did you think?
For some reason, I thought you liked the Redskins.
No, early in the week, I did kind of like the Redskins. Then I thought about it a little bit more and was remembering how well, or just how hard, how emphatic AP was running, and tilted my lean to Minnesota. Because honestly, this feels like a stay away game.
That was the part of the Chargers game that was confusing to me is why the Chargers didn't try to run the ball more. The Redskins are an awful run defense.
Yeah.
So I think we're both on the same side of this one, Sean. The other thing that makes me really, really excited to take the dog here, 85% of the money on the Redskins. 85%.
That is a good sign.
Why is that line not at 3? So much money's coming on the Redskins. Also, the total seems a bit high. 49? I don't know. Maybe the bad defenses.
Minnesota right. Shows up in prime time,
yeah.
Though, I feel like.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe you're right.
Prime time at home.
Prime time. All right, next up. Tennessee Titans host the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jaguars getting 11.5, Sean. I'll let you go first here.
Well, Ryan, as you know, me and our mutual friend.
Oh, yes. There's Steve, been a mid-season wager.
We decided to wager. He said Jacksonville, if you took them from here on out against the spread, they would make you money. And I said I disagreed. So for you to take Jacksonville every week and for them to make you money, that means they have to go 5-3 against
yep.
the spread. I'm just going to continue to fade Jacksonville. I picked them like twice this year, felt bad about it both times. I lost the one where I picked the Broncos, but I'm going to just continue the trend of fading Jacksonville. It's pretty simple. Give me Tennessee minus 11.5. I know it's a huge number for Tennessee to be laying. It makes no sense, but this Jags team is historically bad, and they seem noticeably worse without Justin Blackmon, who is out for the rest of the season.
I don't really know what to think about this game, Sean. On one hand, the Jaguars look like complete crap. But on the other, should the Titans really be laying that many points against anyone? As been pointed out by that same friend, teams 0-7 or worse, winless teams with 7 or more losses against the spread are quite good over time, as public perception is that they suck. So there is value there. This line, honestly, the best of this line was early in the week when it was 13. would you know? But I don't see how you go. I know they're coming. You know what? I'm taking Jacksonville off the bye. They're off a bye, right?
Yep.
Yeah, it just for the sole reason that it doesn't. This line doesn't make sense to me. I don't know. I'm gonna roll with Jacksonville here.
Best of luck.
All right, next up, Sean, your Philadelphia Eagles, led by future NFL Hall of Famer Nick Foles, head up into Lambeau, where this line opened at 9.5.
10, I even saw.
It is now 1.5. There was a report a couple years ago basically outlining the perceived value from Vegas's perspective of quarterbacks and how Aaron Rodgers was worth between 7 and 8 points. Most people said he was worth about 7.5 points. So for me, the line moved maybe a little bit too much. I would have preferred to see this go to 3. I think it did go to 3, and then people just started crushing the Eagles. It's now down to 1, 1.5. Give me Green Bay. I'm going to take Green Bay on the overreaction. I think Seneca Wallace...
I mean, from a gambling perspective, I almost liked it better when Aaron Rodgers was there and the Eagles were getting
for sure. I agreed. I kind of agree with you, although, God, their defense... They've been playing better.
It just seemed like they would... the way they've been playing on the road and putting up points, it felt like 10 points, 2 scores, they'd be able to keep it within that. Now this changes the dynamic of the game. I mean, Philadelphia Eagles, they've struggled, I think, when teams are able to slow it down. You're going to see a heavy dose of Eddie Lacy. You're going to get a Seneca Wallace who's had
practice reps.
Some reps.
I mean, he wasn't even with the team in training camp. So he may have never had a practice rep.
That all being said, I do like the Eagles to win here. They've played very well on the road. I think Green Bay is coming off a short week. I think emotionally it's got to be kind of tough losing Aaron Rodgers. I think we've gotten to the point here with the injuries are a little too much for Green Bay to overcome. So I like the Eagles here, but very interesting play and interesting line shift. I don't think taking Green Bay is a horrible idea, but for me, Seneca Wallace as a favorite, I'm going to have to go against that.
So, yeah, I'll repeat what I one thing. He may be getting his first practice reps on the team, so he's surely only going to get better. And secondly, I just think it's that, you know, the first – after the starting quarterback goes down, the backup has to come in. That first game where he has a week of practice, you know the team's going to rally around him. You saw it a little bit in that game last week.
Yeah, see, that's what I felt like that moment passed. I felt like that moment was Monday night, we're going to rally around Aaron Rodgers. We're going to win this one, and now it's a short week, you're flat, you're deflated, you got a non-divisional opponent. I don't know.
Yeah, but you're still at home, so I don't know. I don't feel great about the Packers, but yeah.
And a lot of it, the other part is I think Eagles' defense has played a whole lot better, so.
Yeah. All right, Sean, next up, Buffalo, Pittsburgh. Mm-mm. Your Buffalo Bills head to Pittsburgh. Where the Steelers are laying 3. I don't really know what to make of this game either, Sean. It does seem like we're still giving Pittsburgh a little credit for being Pittsburgh. Sounds like EJ Manuel will be back. That could be a huge deal. As they looked like a, you know, also, you know who's not on the injury report this week, Sean? CJ Spiller. Apparently his ankle woes are behind him. He's going to get a hefty amount of carries. So for those reasons right there, EJ Manuel and CJ Spiller, I like the dog here. I think the Bills are the play here. I really don't see how you can take Pittsburgh laying the points. And honestly, this seems like a game that might get to 3.5, the way the juice is right now. So
yeah, I'm looking at the Yahoo line, and it listed Monday and Tuesday at 3.5. So
yeah, it's locked in at 3 in the contest, but I think maybe you wait on this if you're back in the Bills. I don't know. The EJ Manuel news might hurt that, but I don't know. I like
EJ,
it.
If you can get EJ Manuel starting at 3.5, I like it. Yeah. EJ Manuel is going to make a couple big plays, and that's going to be the X factor here. And I'm
Spiller.
Seeing,
Spiller has 200 yards in this game.
Spiller's
coming out
running hard, and this Pittsburgh team doesn't seem to have a lot of fight left in them. Whereas Buffalo, they've lost games. They haven't looked great, but they do seem to be fighting.
Their defense is playing hard. All right, Sean, next up. New York Giants coming off the bye week, getting Andre Brown back, getting healthy. They host the Oakland Raiders, who, of course, underperformed the spread by 21 points last week. The Raiders are getting 7 points. You can find 7.5s out there. It's 7 in the contest. I got to be honest. Giants shouldn't be laying this many points. Sean, how many in the many years we've done this show, how many times have I picked against the Giants?
Not a lot.
Yep. I'm taking the Raiders here, especially if you can get a 7.5. Now,
that's
being said,
the only thing that worries me.
That being said, Giants are going in teasers, for sure. But wow. Yeah, I think I gotta take Oakland here.
Yeah, this is a classic close your eyes special. A couple things you worry about is the West, the East Coast, but I think Terrell Pryor is going to make some plays, and I think this New York team's done. There was like some potential momentum, like, hey, we won 2 games in a row. I think Oakland wins outright.
Wait, why do you feel they're done?
I don't think they're going to – I think they're going to win like maybe 2-3 more games this year.
Okay.
Done as in like, oh, hey, we're only
so you're
two
not,
games
you didn't
out.
See something in the last 2 games that – because they played better in their last 2 games than they did all year. So
yeah, but I guess I'm, you know, people who
sure.
talk about the league like to throw and the Giants, they're in the mix.
This is
they're
definitely
done.
This
they're
is
not going to win the division.
They're definitely at their high point. So in terms of value going against them, this is probably the best time to do that.
They're,
like
they're
I said,
not a 7.5 point favorite under any circumstances.
No. I think 7's a good number because 7 makes you think. 7.5 is a no brainer to me.
Six and a half
is more of a tough number, actually. Because even 7, I take Oakland.
I would take the Giants laying 4.
Okay. But I mean, so all of that being said, I still – this is going in my teaser. So, actually, you know what? It won't go in my teaser. I don't need to jinx anything. But I'm going to take the Oakland Raiders plus 7.5. Sean, your Indianapolis Colts host the St. Louis Rams. Indy laying – I believe it's 9.5 in the contest. This is one of those lines that if you like the Rams, you should have grabbed it early when it was at 10.5. If you like the Colts, you might want to grab it now before it gets back up to 10. Based on what I saw last week, I wouldn't be too thrilled about laying this many points with that Colts team right now. And with the way that the Rams defense is playing, I think you're going to see some pressure on Luck, and I think this game is going to come down to if Luck uses his legs, how well he uses his legs. He's very competent at doing that. Because I'm not a believer in the Indy defense. I think the Rams will be able to move the ball a little bit. So this spread's just too big for me. I'm going to take the dog.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a big Indy backer. For whatever reason, I feel like I got a handle on the Colts. I don't know. I feel like I got a good read on when they're going to show up and how big and how often. This doesn't feel like a game where they're going to blow the team out. It felt like, that win's got to take a lot out of you. Obviously, their offense still adjusting to being without Reggie Wayne. Although Chris Collinsworth and would not shut the fuck up about it during the broadcast. They go, and this is what happens in Reggie Wayne. The receivers are just dropping wide-open passes.
And Reggie Wayne doesn't drop passes.
Right. But
I mean, Sean, what was more annoying, that or them getting all over Aaron Rodgers for being a tough guy because he was out there with a broken collarbone?
Well, yeah, see, I didn't hear that broadcast. I was listening
Holy
to
crap. Gruden.
Oh, and they were also throwing Case Keenum. Oh, man, they were just –
Full lather on Case Keenum. Now, that being said,
he did look good.
Yeah. I mean, I would feel very encouraged if I was a Houston fan because the guy at least shows some – he draws excitement out of the crowd.
Yeah, that place was rocking. But Indy took care of business there. Felt like a lot emotionally draining game. They're going to be on cruise control a little bit here. Too many points. Give me the Rams.
Well, like you said, they're coming off that big, big divisional game, and they're bye weeks next week. So very – oh, no, I'm sorry. That's St. Louis has a bye week next week. Indy has a Thursday night game at Tennessee. So in terms of the classic sandwich spot, road divisional night game, then you come home and play the Rams, then you go back on the road and play Tennessee on a Thursday night. This is sandwich spot written all over it, right?
Could be.
I mean, it just it feels like a bad spot for the Colts. All right, Sean. Ooh, Atlanta Falcons. Now I got to tell you, Sean, I don't usually do too many of those preseason bets where you bet the line. Well, Sean, I have the Atlanta Falcons minus – or sorry, I have the Seattle Seahawks plus 3 in this game. Wow. As that was the preseason line. Atlanta is now a 6-point dog against the Seahawks. I don't know what to think about this game, Sean. I'm going to let you go first.
Too many points for the Falcons here. Ugly.
You mean
team.
The Seahawks?
No, I mean, I guess too many points for the Falcons not to take the Falcons, which...
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I guess too many points for the Seahawks to cover. That's a long trip from Seattle to Atlanta. Atlanta, man, they just got to show up at some point. I don't feel great about this, but 6.5 is a little too high. Seattle has shown... I don't know. I don't see them covering 6.5 on the road. To me, it's just like I don't get a huge read on anything else except just home dog getting 6.5. Give me the Falcons.
Revenge game?
Take the ugly dog.
Revenge game? Does that come into the equation at all?
Yeah, I mean, what else does Atlanta have to get up for? I think this is one of the games they're going to get up for. So give me Atlanta getting 6.5.
You don't think Seattle's going to get up for it?
I think they will. I just think they'll have trouble covering 6.5. It's a big number. They've shown that they can get out of sync for long periods of time.
I mean, Atlanta knocked them out of the playoffs last year in that building. You don't think they're going to get it? I mean, I would for most teams, I would say that's not going to happen. It's the NFL. But Pete Carroll and his rah-rah bullshit, he's going to be reminding his guys all week what happened when they came to this building last.
Just feeling like it's a big dogs week again, right?
I think so, too. That being said, I'm taking the Seahawks here. I think the Seahawks have been less than focused the last 2 weeks, and I think they need to get focused. I think Carroll's going to get them focused by showing them tape of what happened in that game when they played in the playoffs last year. I like the Seahawks laying the 6. Ooh. Actually, Sean, here's another bet I made before the season. Baltimore Ravens host the Cincinnati Bengals. I have the Cincinnati Bengals plus 3. They are now laying 1.5. Oh, I don't know what to do with this. I mean, for me to play the Ravens here, it would seem like I'd want 3. I just – this Ravens team, I don't know what to – I think they're just bad, right?
Yeah, they are. It's tough to take anything away except Super Bowl hangover. You listen to the press conference, the guys' voices are down. Listen, Joe Flacco was their leading rusher last game. So, I got to take the Bengals here coming off the long week.
I mean, I guess...
I feel like Cincinnati's going to come off. That was a tough loss for them, and it feels like they're going to show up, get pumped up for this division game, so... Yeah, give me the Bengals only laying 1.5.
I mean, I want to take the home dog here, and I'm a little worried about what them losing Geno Atkins means. But the Bengals are coming off that long rest, and they're also coming off a game they should have won. They should be more focused. I think the defense rallies around the fact that Atkins, who's kind of their leader, is out. So I'm also going to take the road chalk here. I just think for me to take the Ravens, this has to get to 3. All right, Sean. Another home dog, Chicago Bears, getting 2.5 at home versus the division rival, Detroit Lions. Another one. We've talked about this multiple times. Detroit is not a team I'm looking to back on the road. And yet, what can we do here? This is, I don't know. Was that the perfect game from McNown? He had 2 weeks of preparation. The team rallied around them, or is it that they're still a pretty good team? Jay Cutler isn't as good as we expect, and Detroit will struggle to pull away on the road, leaving the door open for Chicago to win this game. I don't know. I'm taking the home dog here, But I'm a little worried that the Bears' value is high at this point. And
yeah, I don't think it's a overvalued. It's yeah, I'm going to just blindly play home dogs this week, I think, with the exception of a couple like super small home dogs. 2.5. It just feels like Chicago's game here. I don't like Detroit on a slow field, that turf in Soldier Field. I feel like Forte will have a big game, be able to control it. I'm kind of worried about this game here, but actually, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to take the Lions. Calvin Johnson. I just remembered Calvin Johnson. They're coming off a bye. Reggie Bush. They're going to win this game.
Yeah, I'll disagree with you. I'll take Chicago. I think they'll be able to move the ball, and I like those big receivers. I think Chicago will do their best to force Detroit to take the small stuff, and that seems to always frustrate Stafford and cause them to make some mistakes. So, though my only concern is the Bears' defense isn't what it was in the past. So I this is a game I'll most likely lay off of, maybe tease the Bears up to 8.5. Anyway, Sean, next up, San Francisco 49ers host the Carolina Panthers. Panthers are on a roll right now. Niners coming off the bye. Give me those Panthers. Not much to say here other than I like the Panthers here. I think
I'm going to have to go against you here.
Can I just say one thing that maybe will sway you? The Panthers have a very legit run defense.
Yeah.
Very legit run defense. And we've seen what happens when San Francisco is – the run game is taken away from San Francisco.
Yeah, I mean, Carolina's defense is definitely legit. I think Cam Newton's going to struggle on the
also,
West Coast playing in Candlestick. I also like good coaches coming off a bye week. As much as you don't personally like him, Ryan, San Francisco's head coach, Harbaugh, very good coach. I think you give him that extra. I mean, he was preparing for that. He was preparing for this Carolina team in the third quarter against the Jags in London. They're well-rested. They're put together. I think this is going to be a nice win for the 49ers.
Yeah. One thing I meant to point out about the Detroit game, everyone, much like San Francisco, over 80% of the tickets coming in are on Detroit and San Francisco. Interestingly enough.
All right, then I'm going back to Chicago.
All right.
Official pick Chicago. I love fading the public. I can't help it.
84% on San Francisco in this game, and yet the spread has moved down, opened at 6.5. It's now at 6. That always makes you wonder a little bit. Interestingly enough, this San Francisco-Carolina game is one of the most heavily bet games so far of the week. So,
wow.
Yeah.
I think Carolina's been doing it against weaker competition. I think they're about to get popped in the mouth here.
Yeah, that's definitely a concern. I just think the spread's too big.
Yeah,
I
like it a lot better at 4, but
yeah, I thought it was going to be in that 4 to 5 range. All right, Sean. Ooh, Houston coming off that heartbreaking loss. I don't know if it's heartbreaking anymore at this point. Well, they head over to Arizona. Arizona is laying 2.5. You can find 3s out there. I can't take Arizona laying 3 points, even if it is against the lowly Texans. I'm going to take the Texans here.
Yeah, this is tough. I'm going with the Cards.
Carson Palmer still plays for the Cardinals.
Yeah, that's my big concern, and Case Keenum has looked good. I think this Houston team is just devastated. They find ways to lose. Listen, if they weren't going to be able to pull out that victory against the Colts, that was their Super Bowl. You're going to have a Super Bowl hangover here going non-conference to Arizona. Arizona's coming off the bye. I think they're feeling solid, so give me Arizona.
Oh, Sean, Carson Palmer, he's not a guy I want to back. All right, Sean, next
and I
up.
I think Arizona's defensive backfield still kind of legit. So,
San Diego Chargers coming off that heartbreaking loss. Getting 7 points as they host the Denver Broncos. I don't know how you feel about this, Sean, but that seems like a lot of points to be laying.
Yeah, Ryan.
Division
game? Home dog getting 7?
And don't be afraid to sprinkle a little something-something on the money line, Sean. This dogs are biting this week, like you said. I don't know. This is – I'm shocked at – I would think this line would sit at 6.5, kind of like the Dallas-New Orleans line is, but it's sitting at 7, and I don't know. I've been debating all week. Do I wait? Is this line going to go to 7.5? 73% of the tickets are on Denver already. It's not moving. That makes me believe that they know if they do move it, it's going to get crushed by big bets. So I like San Diego here.
Yeah, San Diego, I feel like, definitely keeps it close. Obviously, Denver's defense, they lost their head coach. I think that's not going to affect him much on offense, but I think that will. John Fox, defensive guy, is probably where he has his most input on the team. I feel like not having him is going to be definitely going to hurt you. I mean, you're getting 7 points against a Jack Del Rio head coach team. I like that all day, every day.
Sean, I real quick wanted to come back to something you said earlier about how far Seattle has to travel to Atlanta and how that's going to factor into this decision.
Yeah.
It is 2,652 miles from Seattle to Atlanta. Huh. It is 2,907 miles from Oakland to Giants Stadium.
Okay.
I just wanted to point that out. That argument seemed to be missing when you were backing the Raiders.
Oh, Ryan, I said one of the main things you want to consider is a West Coast team going to the East Coast.
You mentioned it in passing.
Yeah, obviously I'm going to highlight the points that help my pick.
You got to point out all the angles, Sean.
Ryan, there's two. All right, there's a couple differences. Seattle is a much better team.
I have to be better. I just have to do this more. I need to keep you in check.
What? I talk out of my ass.
Yeah, I know. I know. I know. I just need to start calling you out on your trends or your use of convenient trends.
Okay, Ryan. So you're what are you, a robot? Yes, I factor.
No,
in
I just wanted to point that out.
Trends.
I just wanted to point that out. That's all, Sean.
Okay.
Don't get all flustered.
I'm not flustered. I think Seattle. That's a long distance to go, and that. Yeah, if Oakland was a 7.5-point road favorite, then yeah, maybe that would be – it's multiple factors combining, Ryan.
I understand. I simply just wanted to point that out
to
the listeners.
Stop trying to bully me.
Oh, you pussy. This happens on most shows, dude.
Right.
It's part of sports talk radio.
It is.
Jay Moore's in there calling his producer a half bleep N-word.
Hey. I'm not going to slam my microphone down and storm out of the podcast studio.
All right, Sean, Sunday night.
I'm not soft.
Well, this is a positive for NFC East teams hoping that they have a chance to win the division. Saints host the Cowboys. Saints are laying 6.5. I got to be honest, this feels like a little too much, too many points. Even though I tremendously hate Dallas, and I wish this was – if I was going to back Dallas, I would need 7 here, Sean. But I think they might even be the right side at 6.5, which you know that's something if I'm backing the Cowboys. I just think New Orleans has – there's some issues, I think. I think Graham is still banged up, even though he's playing awesome. But the other thing is, let's not overreact. I don't know. I really don't have a feeling on this, and unfortunately,
wow, I got a big feeling.
It's a night game. I guess my lean right now would be the Cowboys, which makes me think that the Cowboys is the play because if I'm leaning that way, it means I've factored in all the reasons I hate them.
See, for me, this game isn't about Dallas at all. It's more about New Orleans. New Orleans, very good coming off a straight-up loss. They're going to come back to the Superdome. Place is going to be rocking Sunday night. They're going to be showing crowd shots on Bourbon Street. This feels like a great game for Dallas to lose. I agree, it's a little high, but I think the New Orleans...
Ah, what am I kidding?
New Orleans lights
New Orleans is at their season low in terms of value, and Dallas really won a game they should have lost. This is a great great time.
Aaron Sproles is going to be back, right? That was just a one game.
If New Orleans wins that game last week and Dallas loses, which easily could have been the outcomes, this is what, 7.5?
Yeah, to me, this is the spot. Dallas is horrible coming off a straight-off win, and New Orleans is awesome coming off a
straight-off
loss.
Also, it's 4 points. It's a Sunday night game in New Orleans. That's a 4-point home field, maybe even 4.5. So, yeah, New Orleans is the better team. Let's do it. Let's fade the Cowboys.
Feels good to me.
All right, Sean. Last game of the week. Monday night, in what should be a thriller, the Miami Dolphins head up the coast, or I guess across the state over to Tampa Bay, where Tampa Bay is getting only 2.5 at home. Tampa Bay, of course, coming off a game against the Seattle Seahawks. You know what that means, Sean. It's time to fade them. That's about the only reason I can see here to take the Dolphins, but I've been riding that trend all season, and I'm going to continue to ride that trend. Of course, the Bucs winless, not getting any respect. Should the Dolphins really be favored on the road here? Will the fact that they are now missing two of their offensive linemen factor in? Maybe the locker room will be a friendlier place. Who knows?
Better workplace environment.
Better workplace environment. Will Doug Martin play through a torn labrum? Wow, he's so tough, Sean. I played through a torn labrum 2 years playing rugby. I don't want to hear about this bullshit. He's wearing pads. Why is this a big story? Do you know what you need your labrum to do, Sean? Throw.
No, no idea.
You don't need it to. I mean, yeah, your shoulder might pop out. Be a man. Pop it back in. I don't know. I like the Dolphins here. I'm not betting on the Bucs as long as Shiano's the head coach.
Yeah. I mean, they need a clean house, figuratively and literally. The staph infection's gotten to them.
Oh, nice.
That was a nice one, right?
Yeah, that was nice.
I thought about that earlier today. I thought I'd, slyly throw that in there.
Yeah.
I mean, Tampa, that was their – you were fighting these bad teams, have these kind of Super Bowl moments. That felt like a last hurrah. And I think, like, in the same way the Jags, they almost play better on the road because they I don't know what it is. It's just the psychology of being a crappy team in front of your home crowd almost hurts you at some point. Eagles dominated them in Tampa. I
think you see that with young teams sometimes, that young teams that are struggling, they almost can handle the road better because they
– less pressure.
Well, not even the less
get away
pressure.
From the negative publicity.
They expect the booing and they expect the negative stuff coming from the crowd.
Yeah.
Whereas when you're at home and that happens, it's a bummer. You know, it's like these guys are supposed to be in my corner.
Yeah, as a guy who lived through that last season with Andy Reid, these primetime games are not. Guys will be showing up too. There's going to be a lot of fire Shiano signs.
Yep.
All that kind of stuff. You want to be on the opposite side of that.
Over under. 3.5 fans they show with paper bags over their heads.
I'm going to say over. Yeah. There'll probably be a group of guys.
Oh.
Over or under, Ryan, wins Greg Schiano has as an NFL head coach. Career. From here on out.
How many did he have last year?
From here on out.
From here on out? Zero. I don't think he's going to be an NFL coach more than a week or two.
So you think they fire midseason? See, I think that was their chance to fire him. I think now with this coming up to this Monday night.
No, if they get blown out by the Dolphins, that's way worse than getting blown out by the Seahawks. I mean, the Seahawks at least was an expected loss, even though they made it close. If anything, that showed that, oh, maybe we'll keep this guy around. The team's fighting for him. But that might have been their attempt to get to the summit. And now that they didn't get there.
That felt like the last hurrah for the Tampa Bay Bucs.
I don't know, Sean. That's going to be Yeah, I don't think he wins another game as an NFL head coach. And the other reason I kind of like taking the Dolphins, for some reason, 68% of the tickets printed are on the Tampa Bay Bucs right now.
Yeah, everyone's overreacting to this Jonathan Martin, Richie Incognito.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it. Anyway, Sean.
Listen, there's poison in the locker room of the Dolphins, great. But there's literally poison in the Tampa Bay locker room.
Literally.
Trying to get rid of this horrible staph infections.
Yeah. Like you said, literally and figuratively. All right, Sean. Lock of the week. Mine are easy. I'll just run through them real quick for you.
Good, because I got to think here for a second.
All right. I'll take my time. The more I think about it, the more I love this spot for the Rams against the Colts. Like we said, Colts sandwiched between two division games. They play on Thursday upcoming. Rams will be my lock of the week. I'll take 9.5. Although in real life, I'll probably either buy that up to 10 or wait around. My money line upset special is going to be the Panthers plus, you can grab like plus 220, plus 225. And my three-team tease is going to be as just like this. Vikings going up to 8.5. Getting 8.5, that is. Oh, man. You know, I made a new rule for myself. I did some math, work with the math, and I really think the only time you should tease a game is if you're teasing through the numbers 3, 4, and 7. I think you should either be teasing down from like the 7 to 8 range or up from the like 2, 2.5 range. I think that's where you get your most value. And so for that reason, I will hold true, and I will also tease. Oh, it's so hard to tease the Ravens, huh? But I'll tease the Ravens up to 7.5, and I will tease the Bears up to 8.5. Wow. I like that. 3 home dogs, more than a touchdown. It feels good, you know? A lot of value there.
Okay, Coach. For my upset special, it's obvious. Oakland Raiders. I mean, what's that money line at? 275?
I'll make that bet with you.
Okay.
They're not. Come on.
Oakland Raiders aren't going to win?
No.
I think they have a decent shot of winning outright.
Okay.
I mean, that's why I'm picking them. I like the Oakland Raiders. You're getting a lot of value against a horrible New York Giants team. For my three-team tees, I like New Orleans down to -1. I like San Francisco as a pick'em. And I also like the – oh, man. I also like the Minnesota Vikings 8.5. I'll hop on board there with you, Ryan. And for my lock of the week, I'll take the Tennessee Titans going against the Jags.
Nice. Laying the big spread for your lock.
Ah, feels right.
All right, Sean. Real quick, let's hit college.
Let's do it.
We got a couple Thursday games we got to talk about.
Tonight.
Yeah, tonight. Game one. I like to say I'm not a Big 12 fan, but Oklahoma heads to Baylor. Baylor with their first test of the year. Baylor's laying 14.5. No bueno.
Give me Oklahoma.
No bueno. Give me Oklahoma plus the points. Not much to talk about here. Baylor hasn't played anyone. All they've done is impress people with their scoring 70 points a game.
Highest stoop spread of all time.
They're playing a team with athletes. It's Oklahoma. Another Thursday night game, Sean. Oregon heads down the coast to Stanford, where Oregon is laying 10.5, Sean. No bueno.
It's that home dog here.
I mean, I get it. Oregon's as good as they've – maybe better than they've ever been. But Stanford is still big and physical, and I just think it's too many points. It's too many points. Maybe you lay 7. The line opened at 7.5, and that at that point I was like, oh, I'm going to wait because this is only going to go up. Yeah, that Stanford game is a game I'm going to have a lot of real money on. Also, sticking around in my home conference, the ACC, not a marquee matchup, but Florida State heads to Wake Forest. Wake Forest has been sneaky good at home this year. Florida State is laying 35 points on the road. They're coming off a stretch where they killed Clemson. They killed Miami. They are reading about themselves in the paper. They are number 2 in the BCS. They don't have a ton to prove against this weak Wake Forest team.
I don't like to fuck with these big spreads in college.
35 point home dog.
Might play with the, you know, all of a sudden you got UTEP laying, you know, getting 42 against Texas A&M.
Well, that was a fucking safety.
I'm just saying these giant spreads and teams wanting to run it up for the BCS.
Well, that's what I guess what I'm saying
like
is
the
Florida
10 or 15.
Florida
I
State.
I agree with the logic though.
Florida State kind of made their point, and they're not. They play Syracuse next. I like grabbing the points here with Wake Forest. Sean, staying in the ACC for one more. Probably this game will surely decide the ACC the Atlantic side, or the whatever side it is. Virginia Tech heads down to Miami. Old Big East rivals. Miami's laying 6.5 or 7.
No.
Miami is the better
here.
Miami's the better team, but Virginia Tech has not gotten up for their last two games.
They're horrible. Logan Thomas.
Logan Thomas is Logan complete Thomas. Garbage. But they will be up for this. As someone who went to that school, this is Virginia Tech had. Everyone wants to say that UVA is the rival. Virginia Tech had two rivals while we were there: Miami, West Virginia. We don't play West Virginia anymore. This is the rivalry game. It always gets underlooked. The other factor, Miami's home field is garbage. No one goes to the games because of it's a huge stadium. I believe they play in the Dolphin Stadium. And I don't know. I won't be betting on this, but I don't be surprised if Virginia Tech wins this game. Should we do
Miami.
Yeah. No, look, I'm not going to argue with you. Should we do one more, Sean?
One more. Let's wrap it up.
Any big matchups out there? Scrolling through. All right. We talked about this a little bit. Well, there's one big matchup we're going to talk about, but I wanted to touch on this one. Little home cooking. We talked about how USC might be a team we want to start betting on. They're now up. They face Cal, one of the worst teams I've ever watched play football. USC is laying 16.5, and I will take that. I think USC is on the up and up. I think they have what's the receiver's name? Why am I blanking on his name?
Woods?
The kid Marquise Lee. He's healthier now. I got to be honest. I think there's value in USC here. I think this I would bet this up to 21. All right, Sean. Last game, the game of games on Saturday. LSU heads to Alabama.
Oh.
Where at this point, I'm starting to – maybe we're just sleeping on Alabama because we forget how good they are. But LSU getting 12.5 points against this Alabama team. This is Alabama's attempt to make a statement. This is also LSU's probably their last big – I mean, look, they're not going to be playing in the SEC championship. I don't know. I really want to take
LSU. Give me
LSU
here. And the points. Fuck Alabama.
I'm a little worried about the fact that here's my thing. LSU has a legit offense. They have Cam Cameron calling the plays. Zach Mettenberger might be the best NFL quarterback. but it is at night. It is in Alabama. So I'm a little hesitant, but I thought the spread would be 10. So for that reason alone,
2 points of free value.
2 points of value. All of that being said, I'm not a big SEC guy, but for some of these games, I feel like I get a pretty good handle on how they're going to play. So it just feels like it can't not be close. It's Alabama LSU.
All right, give me LSU. Okay, guys, that'll wrap it up. Thanks for downloading the podcast, Stitcher, iTunes, you know, the whole nine. Got some league heads. Amazon, score big, man. Great place to get some tickets.
Yeah.
Find all those links on sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Of course, get involved on the Twitter. Always retweet your guys' picks. Go back and forth. Inside info. We love it. Share the wealth, guys. We try to do the same there. For the Sports Gambling Podcast, I am Sean, stacking the money green, and he is Ryan.
Nobody has been hotter than Frisco Warrior, our boy Andrew, my number one fan on Twitter. He's been killing it.
Shout out to him. Kramer, let it ride.